Aren't you glad that Orange has now exploded on our campus as of today? The whole campus is Orange. That's our comprehensive programming for kiddos, students, shepherds, and really maybe more importantly, parents of those kiddos and students. This is a partnership that we're launching to make sure that your kiddos and students have the best chance to see clearly who Jesus is. And we believe, and Scripture confirms, that parents have a major responsibility in their kids' journey toward discovery, that true adventure. So, if you haven't downloaded the ParentQ app, there's content everywhere. Orange is everywhere on our campus. It's in our media loops. It's in our written content. It's on our website. So if you're a parent of a kiddo from birth through high school, you should have the ParentQ app already on your phone and get ready for action. All right, action, adventure. If you haven't guessed yet, 2019 is the year of true adventure on the journey. How many of you are adventurers? How many of you fancy yourself an adventurer, but you really may not be? Well, I would offer that adventure is a major portion, whether or not you think you're participating in one, it's a major portion of every life, to venture, to risk, to be bold in some pursuit or endeavor. And so I've titled this series that is going to launch our year, and it's going all the way through, so I just want to set the parameters for you, set the trail map, if you will. We're going to go all the way through March 3rd with this series. And then we'll be refreshing this true adventure theme throughout the year. But I think I'm an adventurer. And I have the scars to prove it. I have the stops by law enforcement to prove it. And I think, more naturally than not, I have a bias toward risk-taking. But what I've discovered is, like, say, on my mountain bike, I have a fairly nice mountain bike, and I've got the scars to prove it. But I typically, if I'm on a trail, once I get used to that trail, I'm typically looking for a one-off trail that is more challenging. And when I'm on a trail, and I'm used to the trail and comfortable with the topographic features of the trail, and I see one that seems to be a little more difficult, my first response is not usually to dive and go. My first response is to choose to stay on the more comfortable, known trail. So even though I have a bias for risk-taking, my first response, my natural intuition is to stay where I am and go with the known and the comfortable, and something that I know I can survive and manage in. Does that make sense? Do y'all see yourselves kind of the same way? And typically, I will, after some very disciplined, intentional focus and decision-making, I'll go for it and learn that more difficult trail. And what I've discovered is, once on that more difficult trail, the same process happens again. As I'll get comfortable with what was once challenging, but now familiar, and I'll be looking for another opportunity for growth as a mountain biker. The same is true in our spiritual lives. This is a journey of discovery, and the joy of discovery is found in being willing to take adventurous, bold, risky steps of obedience in order to realize or be fulfilled in a promise that's been made to me by Jesus Christ. Usually when I'm approached with an opportunity for a next step of growth, a more difficult trail, my first response, my natural response, is to say, no, I'm good. And when I do that for a prolonged period of time, I end up truly missing out on the fulfillment that's been promised to me. And in some sense, we'll look today in the text, in some sense, it's dangerous for me to say no to the new trails that are being opened up to me by my Savior. Because He insists, and He truly insists, that I take these steps of more increased trail riding in order to be fulfilled in everything He's promised. So So as we launch this series, every week we'll examine a personal approach toward decision making that has to do with living the true adventure that we're made for. So we probably need to define some terms. Adventure is typically a noun, and you can follow along in your outline. I don't know if I put this part in. You can write it somewhere. Maybe I did. Did I? Anyway, it's typically a noun, and it means a bias for risk and bold decision making. The joy of discovery, something that's unfamiliar, something that I'm currently comfortable with and I can manage, but now I have a calling for risk and put something out there that's at stake. And true is an adjective to modify adventure, that which is conformable to an essential reality. You're like, man, I didn't come here for a vocab lesson. This is important, though, as we launch this series, because spiritually speaking, the God of the universe and his Son are the ones who define reality. I'm going to say that again because it's very important. Every reality that you think you can form so that you can understand how life works as a Christian must be measured against the true reality, which is everything that God has created and the mechanics of human life together that his Son has now personified. Those are the components of actual reality. That's why it's so important, and this is not the focus of this message, and maybe a little one-off. It's so important to develop for yourself a biblical worldview, because a biblical worldview allows you to align your thinking to the reality of the Creator of the universe and what his Son has accomplished to show us how life works the best. And I live in that reality. So true adventure is how the reality of Jesus Christ and what he's calling me to risk results in my fulfillment or the realization of the person that I'm called to be. So true adventure is my commitment to that type of decision making. Okay, we good now? All right, so this first message I'm calling Beyond the Horizon. Many times when I'm mountain biking, I'll come to a place where I'm going, man, this rocks, and then I'll look. Yeah, the key to good mountain biking, I've been taught, is to be about 30 to 50 feet, if you're in a tough, twisty trail, 30 to 50 feet beyond, so you know what's coming next, because it's like Terminator. You know how the Terminator's always, you know what I'm saying? That grid that's always taking an input and deciding on the next step. Well, sometimes I'll come to a place where I'm looking 30, 50, 70 feet ahead, and I don't see anything, and I don't know what's on the other side of that horizon. Well, spiritual life is my ability to trust that God has placed beyond that horizon something that is so rich and powerful and enjoyable and will lead to my fulfillment. And so the trail that I choose must have my commitment to whatever beyond the horizon shows me. I'm committed to move in that direction. And I've chosen Matthew 7, just these two verses. And literally most, if not all, of this series will be rooted in Jesus' words. And that's easy to explain because he is the ultimate true adventurer. He left the glory and the comfort and the worship of heaven and took a bold, risky adventure so that he could realize his mission of offering me forgiveness and life forever. And it cost him his very life, but resulted in his very exaltation. Beyond the horizon for him was exaltation. So in Matthew chapter 7, just two brief verses, and then we'll unpack. For me, it's a mountain biking metaphor, or it's a hiking metaphor, because it's literally the choice of trailheads. Do you know what trailheads are? It's the beginning of a trail, right? So whenever we go on sabbatical, we typically choose a place that has options for multiple hiking or biking. So there's places of multiple trailheads, and we'll typically drive to one location and then there's four or five different trailhead markers with the name of a trail, and then it goes like this. And, you know, each trail takes its own path. And I love my app called All Trails. Anybody know the All Trails app? Because it gives me a description of what particular, because if I'm just standing at the trailhead, but with a sign with a name, I don't know, unless it says the name of the trail is Death, which I'd be going, I don't know. You think it's really that bad? But my app gives me a description of what to expect. And always, in the description, it's labeled easy or moderate or difficult or very difficult. And always, when a trail is marked easy, it will be described with this as to population: heavily traveled. But when you get over here to difficult and extremely difficult, it will without fail say lightly traveled. And this is the conversation that Jesus is having with us this morning. Which of the trailheads and which of the trails are you choosing? And fortunately, there's not a whole lot of variety in this text to choose from. There's only two. So beyond the horizon is an important concept. I don't know if you're familiar with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, anybody? Love me some C.S. Lewis. Talk about an adventurer. He was a diehard atheist and probably one of the most brilliant minds God ever created. And as almost a middle-aged man and a don at Oxford and a prof at Cambridge across the pond, he set out to disprove the fantasy of historical Christianity. And when a mind like that sets out to do something that is rooted in academic pursuit and historical research, he's going to be dogged like a pit bull. And in his pursuit of disproving the historicity and reality of the Christian faith and the reality of Jesus Christ, he came to this honest conclusion based on the path he had taken, that not only is Jesus the Jesus of history, Jesus is the Jesus of divinity and God's one and only Son. And when he finally realized that, if you read his bio, he says this: that night, in a lonely dorm on campus, I bowed my knee to Christ, the most reluctant convert in England. I love that honesty, because what he recognized was, I have to shift my whole entire way of thinking. I have to take on a new understanding of what it means to live a life of bold risk-taking. And so once he came to faith, he developed this appetite for telling the story of Christianity in the most imaginative ways. The Space Trilogy, the Chronicles of Narnia, do y'all know those? The Seven Books of Narnia, we used to read those to our kiddos. They wouldn't let us miss it. After they got a flavor for Narnia, they would let, you know, when it was time for bed, I mean, talk about a good way to get your kids eager for bedtime. Have something like that as their nighttime regimen. But they would say, hey, Dad, what chapter are we on? They knew what book we were in of the seven. What chapter are we on? I'm like, we're in this. And so it was really a good foundation for our kids, and also a good refreshment in a very imaginative way for our faith as well. And in the very last book, The Last Battle, at the very end of the book, C.S. Lewis has the main characters, these kiddos that have from the beginning gone from ignorance to power as warriors for this king Aslan and his kingdom. And they come to the end of these few years that we're all given. And that is the marker that we all have to calibrate our taste for adventure to. We all have to align ourselves to what is the purpose of these few years, and how do I see what's beyond the horizon? And this is towards the very end of The Last Battle. All their life, that's the kiddos that grew up and became warriors and servants of the true King Aslan and his kingdom. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover and the title page. These few years had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Do you see that perspective of beyond the horizon? The understanding that all of these few years are merely preparation for now launching into the great story that goes on forever. And merely, as I breathe my last in these few years, chapter one unfolds of the great story. So I think that's a perspective that's lost on most Christians. That when it comes time to choose trails and to be prepared, we default to our natural inclination to stay comfortable and to stay on the crushed granite, the thing that's more easily traveled. And that's what Jesus addresses in this portion of Matthew 7. In Matthew 7, Jesus is toward the end of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Y'all familiar with it? Starts in chapter 5, starts with all the Beatitudes, blessed are you, which really feeds into our text today nicely. Everything from chapter 5 through the end of chapter 7 in the book of Matthew is Jesus, his first great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And everything is connected. And he's like every good preacher. you need to hear that. The greatest preacher ever, he knows that when it's time to take all the content and wrap it into to powerful summary, then you need a poignant application. And from verse 12 through the end of the chapter, Jesus is wrapping up everything he's communicated from the beginning of chapter 5. Maybe that's a good homework assignment for you this week. The Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 in the book of Matthew. And then he comes to this place, because in that last portion, from 12 forward, he's giving us alternatives. He said, choose this, choose this. Choose this, don't choose this. If you choose this, this is going to be the outcome. No. If you choose this, this will be the outcome. This is the way to go. And this is a powerful one of those couplets, the choices of trailheads. So here's the text right here, and then we're going to examine each of the trails. Here are both of them contained, both trail choices. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Do you see some distinctions between the two, even in this first cursory reading? Do you see them? Now, that little footnote is there. The text could also be interpreted, for the gate is wide and easy. It's just wide. It's just, you just slide right in. It's just open to you, and that's where you find yourself. In verse 13, at the beginning, enter by the narrow gate. That word narrow is the same word that we use for stenosis of the spinal column, stenos. You know that term? It means where the housing for your spinal column is so narrow that it's barely passable. You barely have freedom for your spinal column. So Jesus is illustrating a very difficult, sort of closed and hard to find trailhead. Okay, so you got the overview. So let's break it down into each trail. And what I want you to consider is, just ask yourself right now, do I think I'm on, as Jesus described, the narrow or the wide? One way I understand in my own life is to recognize that once choosing narrow doesn't mean I'm always on narrow. And once choosing wide doesn't mean I don't have the opportunity to go back to narrow. Sometimes I'm on narrow and I space out and I get too comfortable and I find myself wide again because I recognize that I have no view for beyond the horizon anymore. I'm too married and attached and passionate about these things that don't matter, that don't last. An easy way, maybe, is to ask yourself this question. Do I often think about what it means to be on the narrow path? Or do I think about it much at all? Do I think about as decisions are coming to me, opportunities are coming to me, do I ask myself, is this decision, if I say yes to it, more suited to someone who is traveling the narrow path or the wide path? Somebody helped me out after the first service, and they really clarified it for me. A good friend, a guy I do a lot of mountain bike riding to, he's seen me hurt myself. And he's come out of some stuff. He said, when I finally decided that I was going to strain toward narrow path living, I had to make a conscious decision that every time I had a choice, I had to bypass the first choice that came so easily and discipline myself to the next choice. I thought that was very wise. Don't you? So there are the two. So let's break them down and look at the trail. Let's do it. Let's do an all trails app and some conversation on each one. The first trailhead is a life like most everyone else's. That's your first option. High traffic, high travel, thick with people. All trails would say, if you enjoy being out in the wilderness and having a rough time, don't go there. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. The phrase are many is the word polloi. Have you ever heard the expression, man, I went to the mall and the hoi polloi were there. You ever heard that expression? Maybe it's not popular anymore. Anybody? How about one person? I got four. I'm feeling so affirmed. But it's a Greek word polloi, which literally means the mass or the masses, most of them. Like when Paul, when he was planting his churches, he would go into a city and he would go to a place of the hoi polloi because he wanted the most number of people possible to experience this message of Jesus Christ. So this is a life like most everyone else's. And it's so easy to default to believe that adventure is for me to acquire the things and be educated in ways and to react in a way that's vile, to be relationally vicious, to be unforgiving, to have the right stuff to show the world that I'm somebody so that I can compare myself to you and you'll think that I'm somebody special, that I'm the exception to the hoi polloi, when actually that kind of mindset, worldview, and behavior is exactly the hoi polloi. Isn't it easy just to go with the flow, just to get on the wide path and wake up 5 years later, 10 years later? You know, I personally, and you've probably experienced it in different ways yourself, but I experienced it in the way of achievement and accomplishment and success and wealth and power and influence. That was my adventure. I'm on this adventure to put a rocket ship strapped to my back and just go up into the corporate boardroom as fast as possible. And I did it. And you know how much true adventure was there? None. I woke up in the boardroom and I have no idea why I put all that energy into that pursuit And when Jesus Christ cracked my chest open and showed me the beauty of what was possible, I realized that a life of hoi polloi is not for me. But that's a choice I have to make daily, sometimes hourly. Let's look at some trail features. Again, All Trails shows me on a particular trail. These are some features. You'll have a little dip here, and it'll give you the topography, you know, the concentric circles of elevation climbs, and there's a waterfall here. We like the waterfalls, right? You know, the waterfalls are typically the harder trails to navigate, but it's the waterfall that gives us the motivation to keep going. Isn't that right, babe? Like, it's going to be a waterfall. So from a spiritual perspective, beyond the horizon is, it's going to be life with Jesus. He is my waterfall. Here's some trail features. Wide, easy. Leads to destruction. I know. I love the words of Jesus. He just makes it so clear and simple for me. There's no guesswork with Jesus, is there? And you'll be hanging out with a hoi polloi. Care for a Foxworthy minute? You know where I'm going, right? I only have a couple. But hopefully they're specific enough and broad enough where we can do some self-examination. You may be on the wide, easy trail to destruction if your vision for life, your vision, what this life is about, my part in it, my purposes in it, what I hope to get from it, your vision for life extends only to the end of these few years. Amazingly, friends, this is a vision that a lot of people who go to church every week live by. A framework of only these few years. Now, there may have been a time where the Holy Spirit said, boom, you need Jesus. And you said, yeah, I need Jesus. And then, okay, I got Jesus. What's the world got going on? Like a little dip into the narrow trail, then I woke up. And I'm back on the crushed granite. Horizon's clearly in view. Nothing too smooth, heavily traveled. I mean, nothing too rough, heavily traveled. And you know, here we are. And then the question follows in that conversation. Well, so what about the next? What about chapter one of the great story? Well, I hope that I'll be okay. I'm like, folks, that's backwards. When you say yes to Jesus and strain to the narrow path, you don't hope, you know. Because he has given you energy for every step on the path. Every step of obedience is its own reward in the sense of you feel this deep satisfaction that his spirit in you is now affirming in you that even though you're straining against the culture, you're exactly where you're supposed to be, straining against the culture. See, the culture is defined as the hoi polloi. And the culture makes the rules of the world. The culture defines the wide path. So, firstly, your vision for your life extends only to the end of these few years. Or you treat these few years as more important than the next few millennia. Now, that would be truly backwards. And I think that's kind of easy for us to do because these few years is all we know right now. It's all we tactilely and experientially are involved in. But a life of beyond the horizon insists on straining in the narrow path so that I'm more and more confident that the next few millennia are going to be rewarded by my desire to use these few years to be obedient to Jesus Christ, i.e. the narrow path. So is this helpful at all? And there's so many indicators on the trail. I think one for the church is how we treat people. How we treat each other. Just before this, verse 13, is what we know as the golden rule. Right? Jesus says that everything that the Hebrew covenant, what we call the old covenant, contains is summed up as this. Do to other people, treat other people the way you yourself would like to be treated. Wow, have you seen, anybody got a hard copy Bible? Okay, hold up the Hebrew text. Hold up the old covenant. That's probably good. You're mostly there. So hold it way up so people can see how thick that portion is. You see what Rob's holding up? Jesus said that everything contained in the law and the prophets is summarized as do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Did you know that a commitment every day to treat people well and to offer forgiveness and to ask for forgiveness and to be kind and merciful is actually narrow path living? Do you realize that? It's not that technical. It's not that sophisticated, complicated, but it might be difficult. C.S. Lewis, my friend, says this about wide path living. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. I don't know why he chose drink and sex and ambition, but I think it's a pretty good summary as a trio of how we get distracted to wide path commitment. A life of true adventure. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Trail features. Stenos. Hard. I don't like hard. I like easy. Anybody with me? That's typically why my first impulse when a decision comes my way is to choose easy. Leads to life, and not many folk lightly traveled. You may be on the hard, narrow trail to life if your vision for life extends beyond the border of these few years, beyond the horizon. Are you eager for what's coming next? Are you so eager that you're in prep mode through narrow path living? A life of obedience, or mostly obedience. I call it mostly north. We call it failing forward. Right? Or you treat these few years as preparation for the next few millennia. You know, when I say next few millennia, I just wanted to capture something that we could get our arms around. I mean, eternity, it just already contains every millennia that will ever millennial be. Well, I don't even know that word. There is no time. So y'all come on up. Not y'all. Well, y'all can come on up too if you want. So what I love about modern technology is I can be absolutely lost on a trail and think I'm on the right path. And if I actually stop to look, I have GPS that can show me which path I'm on. Have y'all ever done that? We had that experience in Canada where we thought we were gonna die. My second fear was that I was going to die of thirst in this experience. My first fear is that Sherry was going to kill me before we died of thirst. And we got separated from our twin boys, and we've already like 7 miles into this difficult hike. And we're really kind of in the last half mile, but then they got separated. So here we're thinking, you know, our twin boys are 25 and just like, they got stamina. And I'm going, and Sherry's going, are they going to be okay? But the good news is we have these tools. And spiritually, we have these tools also. It's called God's Spirit in us. It's called God's Word. It's called our community. That we can all encourage each other to stay narrow, stenos, right? And get back or stay rooted in narrow living for the best outcomes. So that's really just, I mean, that's all I have for you in the form of application is, I don't know what God has spoken to you this morning. Go ahead and stand. I'll be up here to talk, pray, laugh, cry, eat if you bring some. But love to interact with you and just encourage you. Your spiritual GPS may be going off, going, need to recalibrate, rerouting. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Jesus, thanks for your words. You don't say it to us. You lived it. Your life speaks, and your words instruct. So thank you for this text. I pray that we would be warriors for adventure. We would be biased toward action, that we would resist our first impulse and be disciplined for obedience, knowing that beyond the horizon is where chapter 1 begins. Holy Spirit, do your work in this body for their good, for our good, and for your glory, the glory of the Father. And all the true adventurers said together, hey, I'll be right up here. I'd love to hang out, talk.